May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for today is our epistle reading, emphasizing the verse that says, "Set your minds on things above and not on things on the earth." Dear friends, what do you think? This is a question my wife dislikes when she's at a Bible class. She doesn't want to hear everybody's opinion. She wants to know what that passage is saying and how it relates to her life. She wants a concrete answer, not someone's opinion. Well, in spite of that, I do plan today to give a concrete answer after I ask the question, what do you think? What do you think about these two statements? Do they agree with each other or do they contradict? Can they be good advice to Christians as we live under the sun? The first is, don't be so heavenly-minded that you are no earthly good. And the second one is, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Are they the opposite in meaning? Or do they have basically the same meaning? I plan to attempt to show that both statements are good advice as we go about our life here under the sun. This first statement reminds us that faith and works go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. James reminds us, doesn't he, that a faith without works is dead. James is the one who also reminds us that we're not only to be hearers of the word, but we are to be doers of the word. Jesus also told us that you'll know who my disciples are by their works. Works stem from one's faith. They are motivated by one's faith. Work put faith into action. Here are a few examples that Paul gives later on, actually in the next chapter, which will probably be the reading for next week, as to some of the things he sees as being good works. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And he goes on to say, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we are indeed saved by God's grace through faith and not by works. But then it goes on to say something we sometimes forget, this verse. He has created us in Christ Jesus for a purpose, so we do good works, which God has already prepared for us that we should walk in them. Take you back to your catechism days. Defines a good work for us in the eyes of God. A good work is everything that a child of God does, speaks, or thinks in faith, according to the Ten Commandments, for the glory of God and for the benefit of his or her neighbor. Good works really do happen every day in our lives. Gladly preparing a meal for your family, it's a good work. Supporting your family is a good work. Setting an example for your children is a good work. Disciplining your children is a good work. Helping your neighbor in need when he is in need is a good work. A friendly visit to a lonely neighbor or friend is a good work. I really didn't realize how important visits with people who are shut-ins really is all about. I had many of them in my congregation who were confined to their homes and they had few visitors. When I arrived to give them communion, they were always glad or happy to see me. From the time I got there to the time I left, they never stopped talking. And many times I heard the same story over and over and over again. I tried to keep these appointments under an hour, but sometimes that was impossible because they needed some attention. Just the listening ear, a human, a real human there that they could relate to. So I tried to keep it short, but this quiet man could talk. But the problem was often is when I visit the shut-ins, they weren't home. Think about that one. Are they really a shut-in? These little acts of kindness that we do without even thinking are good works that we do out of love for others, simply doing them because this is what Jesus would do. We can't forget that doing good to others is the result and the response to our faithful Lord and Savior who gave us his all. He gave his very life for us. Now that second statement focuses our attention on the heavenly, but it is not eliminating the good works in life, but only speaking of the things that are not a part of this life when we focus on heaven. We are advised in our epistle lesson to put off the old and put on the new. Well, that's a good reference to baptism, isn't it? Where we drown the old nature and put on the new. And so, basically, when we're looking to the things above, we're remembering who we are. We can say and identify many different ways, but the best and only way we should identify ourselves is that we are children of the Heavenly Father, and therefore we need to act like that. Paul gives us a list of those earthly things that should not be a part. As he said, he goes on in the third chapter to tell us what we should be doing, but in chapter 3, he basically is telling us what we're not to do. And so he says to us, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You notice that Paul here is addressing sins against God in particular. And then he goes on that now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with all of its practices and have put on that new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here are sins that he's pointing out that we do against one another in this world. Paul gives us the reason why we put off the old and we put on the new. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Since you are new creatures, bought with the blood of our Savior, as you live your life of good works, also keep your eyes focused on the things above. And why? Because there you find your loving Father who created you, who provides for you, who protects you, who sent his Son to die for you. As you focus on the heavenly things, you will see the Son, your Savior and Redeemer, who willingly came to this earth to live the life perfect, so that you would have that righteousness you need in order to stand before the throne of God. He rose for you, giving the victory over sin, death, and the devil. And there, when you look above to the things above, you'll find the Holy Spirit, who has brought you to faith, who keeps you in the faith, in that one true faith, who sustains you with word and sacrament. Without his works, there is no faith, and there would be no reason to keep our minds set on things above. So we need to focus as we walk this life on the treasures that you have in heaven, but you also have right now. When our Lord returns, or when we're taken from this world in death, for all who believe, there is a mansion in heaven for you, paid in full through the death, resurrection, and ascension of our loving Savior. So, back to the beginning. The two statements that we have looked at today really do have the same meaning. A very important message for those whose Savior is Jesus. And it's simple. You cannot separate faith and life. You can't have one without the other. You can't leave church and your faith here and go out into the world and do whatever you want. Because that faith is to go with you. And it is to control your life, control your actions. And you could say even control your mouth. You are a child of God. In here and in the world, you live each day as His child. So we are to live out our faith, act on our faith, live by our faith, letting that faith control our actions and deeds. So our two statements are really good advice for Christians living in this world. Both statements summarize our faith life. We're not to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, but at the same time, we need to set our sights on things above and not on things on earth. We'll fall short. We always do because of our sinfulness. But we have and we know we have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Our help to live by our faith and life connected together happens only as we live by the Spirit who connects us to the Father and the Son. And so the important thing in life for us is make sure they stay connected. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.